Hello and welcome to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. I am your host, James Sutherland, and with me is Jason Hewlett, the producer and the guy that makes me actually sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Welcome. And this is an all new episode, unlike last week's, which was partly new and then repeated.
Yes, remastered.
Right, that's the word, remastered. It was the director's cut. The
director's cut, there we go. Our crazy director. That would be you, by the way.
That would be me, yeah.
So... yeah, and that one went over pretty well.
It did. We ripped you off.
And that is why currently you're not paying for this podcast.
That's right, exactly.
But hey, now we got a whole brand new one to work on and a whole new group of ideas we're going to be covering for the next little while.
Yeah, we like to do the themes if we can, but we have... this one was kind of inspired in a way, something I saw on the internet. Yeah, I know, you got to be careful with that. But as someone who I know who... he's training really hard right now. He's been very active and is going for this fitness goal. And I saw a picture. I know he's been working hard and, you know, changed the diet, cut out alcohol, training many times a week, like almost daily, and then, you know, doing other hikes and stuff. And he didn't look healthy. And it reminded me of a period in my life where I overtrained because I thought, you know, you need to train hard and you're going to compete and you got to do all this stuff. And it just backfired horribly on me. And I know that's a problem with some people when they do train. People seem to think they need to train at a certain level to achieve something, but that can almost be detrimental at times.
Oh, yeah, it very much can be very detrimental. You know, like a lot of people think overtraining just happens to elite athletes or, you know, people that are training for certain events or competitions or whatever. But no, it's the average Joe can very easily overtrain themselves and not even realize it.
Well, and I think people do it because they look at, say, like a Chris Hemsworth or Dwayne Johnson. They look a certain way, right, for their role. And it's for their roles that they're playing.
They're getting paid to work out.
And look like that. Or like Darren Maywood, who's like, you know, competing, right? He has a purpose in mind. And these also have, all these people are supported by other people that know how to, like the dietitians and supplements. And, you know, they got a lot of them have like fitness coaches that work with them. So they're doing it in a healthy manner to look a certain way.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, like especially with Hemsworth and Johnson, like they both have ridiculous physiques, and yeah, they do their 2 hours workout, and then they go home, and they have someone making up the most perfect healthy meal, except for Rock's occasional
cheat meals, which look amazing. 10 days or something like that.
But he's got someone prepping this meal for him. Plus, that's while he's laying down getting a massage from a massage therapist, and that's also why someone's probably manicuring his toes or pedicuring him, whatever the hell they do, right? And same with Hemsworth, he's got all these high-paid professionals that are taking care of him while he's right after they work out or before they work out or during they work out or all that sort of stuff. But the average Joe doesn't really have all that, I don't think.
I know I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, and the question I think when you ask yourself is why do you, if that's your goal and you're an average Joe like you or I, there's a, like, why?
Why do you want to look that way? Why do you want to maintain 7 days a week?
Yeah.
Why do you
want to, yeah. What is your purpose behind that? And then how are you going to do it safely and smartly? And what are the risks?
Well, and that's the key is understanding the risks, understanding that your body has limits. And yes, occasionally it's good to push through some of those limits, but more often than not, it's better to either not push through those limits or get a diagnosis on those limits, those injuries, those nagging body parts that have been holding you back and preventing you from getting where you want to get to, instead of pushing through and just taking a chance on hurting yourself. Find out what's going on. You know, find out if there is an injury to your shoulder, your hips, your knee, whatever it is. And then working around that or through that accordingly and safely.
Exactly. And that's the key word. There's a right way and a wrong way to do all of this. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about because you've got a copious amount of notes, as I can see right there.
Yes, overtraining.
Overtraining and the risks that go with it and what you need to do.
Yeah, when we came up with this subject, which is what you referenced the other day and you referenced at the start of this, was that friend of yours that you saw the picture of. And we looked at that picture and it was like, yeah, they don't look their best, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, for people that are competing in bodybuilding shows and that sort of thing, you can ask almost any of them. Heading into that time frame, they're not eating as much and they're working out just as hard and they're, you know, their diet's all over the map. And it's usually for the last number of weeks, it's chicken and rice or fish and rice.
And nuts and, you know, for a snack.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and that's that's like we referenced at the start, is if you have a goal and that's your goal and you're doing it safely and you have a coach and all that sort of stuff, then more power to you. And if you're disciplined enough to be able to maintain that lifestyle, you deserve all the medals and trophies and stuff you want to get. But for what we're dealing with and what most regular people are, just regular people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can too overtrain, even though they think, you know, I have a lot of new clients that show up and they're like, yeah, I'm going to be coming 5 or 6 days a week and, you know, 2 hours each day, and I might come back twice a day. And I'm like, and I just stand there and nod and go, okay, can we have a little chat about your plan right now? And explain to them really that, you know, that's great that you have this drive and this ambition. I don't want to pull that away from you. But if you out of nowhere start going to the gym and you start doing this 2 hours a day or 4 hours a day, if you come twice a day, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days a week, guess what? You're overtraining.
And you're going to hit a wall.
Hard. Then you'll hit the floor hard.
Yeah. You know? Because I did that when I was boxing and going to compete. I overtrained way too early. Because there's always a process leading up to a fight, is then you do sort of, you increase your training, you start changing your diet in the weeks leading up to it. And yeah, that last little bit, the week before you fight, you're doing the chicken and the rice and you're almost malnourished. You know what I mean? Because you're trying to hit that weigh-in goal.
Yeah.
And then after that, everything just gets forgotten because you want to go up in 10 pounds by the next day when you fight. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, so exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, but there's a point. And so but I was trying to do that like months in advance.
And that's not a safe thing to
do.
No,
it's not.
No, that's why they, you know, the professionals, they tone that down to, you know, 3 weeks prior to or 4 weeks, depending on what your situation is. So, you know, like there's a lot of different issues that can arise from overtraining. Everything from profound fatigue, energy loss, being cold all the time. Not cold isn't that body temperature too, but getting a cold all the time, or, you know, flu-like symptoms, insomnia. Or disturbed sleep, where you're constantly waking up or you're very lightly sleeping the whole night. Weight gain or weight loss, usually the opposite of what you actually want to have happen.
Which is interesting, because I had the weight gain, and then I've also had the weight, which you have there, the weight plateau.
Yeah.
You lose so much weight and then you just stop losing weight.
Women especially over 30, the average woman over 30 that's coming into the gym to lose weight, they often will have that issue. They'll plateau sooner and sometimes longer than men of the similar age that are trying to do it, which is just a genetic thing and a hormonal thing. It's harder. But once those women push through that plateau, or the men that, you know, have a shorter plateau, once they push through that, then you go again and you get back on track. But too many people get all thrown off by that plateau and they, you know, they, oh man, this isn't working. It's a waste of my time. What am I doing? Or the topic we're covering is they decide they want to work harder.
Yeah.
So they're coming 2 days a week or 2 times a day, 5 or 6 days a week. And yeah, but now they're walking with a limp, or they can't lift their hands up over their shoulders, or they can't do things they used to do because their body's going, what the
are you doing?
Are you doing to me? Can we insert a little bleep thing in there?
Oh yeah, there's bleeps.
Yeah, okay.
But you know what else?
And that can be a huge problem.
And people forget too, that when you're lifting weight, you're increasing mass. So you are going to weigh a bit more with all the extra muscle on you.
Yes. Theoretically, yes, the average person. Yeah, so that can be the issue too. So I tell a lot of my clients, instead of looking at the number on the scale, look at the reflection in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, or, you know, selfies. Everyone likes taking selfies nowadays. But having those pictures, especially pictures are good, of you in this similar outfit, whether it's a bikini or boxers or whatever it is, something that's you're going to be able to keep wearing and trying on a month or two later each time down the road, and seeing the difference. The number on the scale may change by 5 pounds, but you may completely change how you look.
Yeah.
Right. So instead of being driven by a number, again, unless you're competing and you need to hit a number for a certain reason, which is a whole nother spectrum, but it's how you look and how you're feeling. Right. So if you have that number and it's sitting there fluctuating by a couple pounds up, 2 down, 4 up, 6 down, you know, all over the place like that, that can be a good thing, provided that you are working out on a regular basis, on a consistent basis, without being overtraining, and the reflection in the mirror is changing that. Or you can put pictures, you see that on Instagram and stuff all the time, right? People the before and after are 6 months apart, and, you know, and that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of those, if you read the comments on those people are saying, yeah, I was X before, and this is 6 months later, and I weigh 3 pounds less or 3 pounds more, but I look completely different.
Yeah. Diet's changed,
right? Because your body fat's down. Because you've worked, yeah, you got your body fat down, you burned the fat off from certain areas where you may not want it. You've built muscle in other areas that you weren't expecting it. But wait a second, I look really good. I'm feeling really good. So that is what you want to focus on, as opposed to the fact the weight on the scale hasn't really changed that dramatically.
Yeah.
Some people that needs to change dramatically, obviously, for health reasons and stuff like that, and self-esteem reasons. But the weight gain, weight loss issue can really play with people's heads, which can then also tie into other issues associated with overtraining, when your hormones get all thrown out of whack, which can cause anxiety, low self-esteem, depression, which we covered greatly a couple of months ago, which was our most downloaded section of episodes, by the way. But, you know, those can play a major part in that too. And your hormones, basically, they control what you do and, you know, your day-to-day activities. And if your self-esteem is in the toilet and you accidentally flush it because you worked out too hard, hurt yourself, and now you can't go to the gym for 2 or 3 weeks because you tore a muscle or you ripped a tendon or you dislocated something or something like that, then it's just going to get worse. So that overtraining issue of going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week for 2 hours a day, not everybody can handle that. So finding out and listening and responding, not just listening to your body, but responding and reacting to what your body is telling you to do, is going to be a key to not overtraining yourself, or having a great trainer that is able to pick things out and able to help steer you in the right direction when you are wanting to push further and they're saying, well, wait a second, hold on. You know, like guiding them and realizing, okay, guess what? If you can make it to the gym 4 days a week for your 45-minute or hour and 15-minute workout, that's going to be better. It might take you a little longer to get to the goal you want. But if you try to crush it out and go 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, fairly quickly you're going to hurt yourself, or you're going to mentally plateau or something, and that's going to drive you back and you're going to be out of commission for a week or two or three. And then that goal that you think you were shortening up by going 6 days a week, all of a sudden it's being stretched out by 4 months because you're injuring yourself or you're mentally not there anymore. You're not focused on your workout, so you're not getting the results you want.
Well, and I think it's something that we're very all guilty of in our modern society. We want instant, really quick gratification and results. And in training, that just doesn't exist. There is no shortcut. And we've talked about it many times, James. You've said it. There is no one tried and true method that works for everybody.
Exactly. Everybody's body is different. You know, you and I are similar in age, similar in stature. But if I go and work out, we developed a plan and I went and did it and you went and did it and we ate the same amount of food and we drank the same amount of water and whiskey.
Yum.
We would have drastically different results.
Yeah.
You know, I might gain more weight. You might lose more weight. I might gain more muscle. You might lean out more. Like this, we don't know, right? Because everyone's different. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, pull off workout plans and diet plans off the internet, off bodybuilding.com.
Well, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
And some of those people actually then turn and sell them to clients. But the problem with that is everybody is different. So, you know, like for example, with you, when we first met at the gym and we're starting a training, I didn't just say, okay, here's your plan, let's go to work. You know, I put you through all the machines in the gym. Then we went into the training center and worked on a bunch of full body stuff. And I was like, okay, forget it. You're not touching a machine again unless it's specific to an injury or a muscle group you really have to focus on. The drive and the passion just wasn't there for you on the machines. Once we got into full body or multiple muscle groups at once, functional training was a hit for you. It's what worked for you. It's what drove you to want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And it drives me as a trainer to have to constantly think of different ways to make you enjoy your workout as well as get you the results you want.
Well, exactly. And I think that's, and the same comes to knowing when to stop. Because the same with overtraining. Certain people can train more than other people too, right?
100%,
like, you know, and if you eat having the right, like look at Stallone at what, 75-ish,
yeah, something like that.
You know, he's still training hard. He's not a young man, but he's obviously taking the right supplements. Has, of course, all the stuff we said with The Rock and Chris Hemsworth. But the point is, like, you can still maintain that level, even as a regular guy.
Right.
Just knowing what the hell to help yourself with.
Exactly. And that's, you know, like a key word you used there was supplement yourself. You know, like all those bodybuilders and stuff and all those boxers and grapplers and stuff, they're all trying to hit a certain weight. They're not just dropping weight and looking at the scale and focusing on that. They're still supplementing, which is a lot, not enough people do that are trying to train hard. You know, they're not getting the proper supplements, whether it's BCAAs or EAAs or enough protein in their diets or
that's
the proper vitamins or their proper omegas or whatever. They're not ingesting, not taking enough or at all.
Yeah.
You know, so someone like you mentioned, Darren, who's been on the show, and he's getting ready to head to the World Bodybuilding Championships. He's doing it the right way because he's been through it. So he knows how to eat. He knows what supplements to take and when to take them and what to do before workouts and after workouts and during workouts. And, you know, he's got that all figured out. Same with Stallone. He doesn't just work out hard and, you know, go and sit down for the rest of the day. He's got people like Hemsworth and Rock do. And you can be those people for yourself, or you can bring people in like a trainer, a nutritionist, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Gets expensive. You
know, but a lot of them, you know, like a good trainer and a good nutritionist will be able to hook you up with a decent plan to start. You know, we're not going to you're not going to be turned into the Rock within 6 months. You know, if you look in the mirror and you're like, hey, I'm 6'4" and I'm about 280 pounds, you know, it's all between my chest and my kneecaps, but I'm about the same size as the Rock. So if I just work out hard, I'll look just like him. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of steps he takes. He didn't just walk out. If you look at him back in his early wrestling days, he did not look anything like.
Not like even remotely.
Did. Google The Rock in 2001, for example, or even earlier, 1997, 98.
Yeah.
He still has the attitude and the swagger, but he had chest implants.
Did he really?
At one point in his career. There was one point in his career he was wearing a t-shirt all the time or a sleeveless shirt for about 6 months, 8 months, because he was very concerned about his appearance and they wanted him to look bigger. So he had them.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that was in one of his books. Actually, I remember reading that and it was very surprising. I'm assuming he's had them removed because otherwise he'd look more like Dolly Parton than The Rock. But see, so even someone like that, who's a big, massive star, he still obviously had self-esteem issues at some point, right?
Well, I think we all do. And image issues, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's just going to be worse for those people that have those self-esteem issues if they try and go too hard too fast.
Yeah.
Too much too soon. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to exhaust yourself. You're going to be too tired to get up and go to the gym, too tired to make the proper food, or too tired to, you know, get your regular job going. And, you know, like there's so many different issues that can arise from overtraining and not listening to your body.
Yeah. That's sweet. Did we cover
it? Yeah, we covered a lot of stuff. I think, you know, insomnia was one thing. You and I both have sleeping issues.
Yeah, and even when we're training right, we have sleeping issues. Some people just have sleeping issues.
Exactly. So, you know, I've had a couple of clients that have had some big issues with sleeping as well. You know, and there's a lot of different supplements you can take for that. So like we referenced earlier, supplements are an important factor.
Yeah.
So getting the right advice. You know, your friend who took something for 6 months and had great results doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. We talked about that in another episode.
Well, I think in our first couple episodes,
So finding a smart person, whether it's a trainer or whether it's someone like Deidre at Supplement King in Kamloops here, someone that knows the supplements and knows what they do, they can explain that to you and then you can try that. And just because they're explaining it to you and it sounds like it's great and you go through a bottle or two of the supplements and it doesn't work, guess what? It just might not work for you.
Yeah.
So try something else, you know, but talking and getting information from people that have gone through similar things or have helped people through similar things is going to be a key for all that. The only other thing I wanted to touch on briefly was what you had referenced earlier again was plateaus, whether it's weight loss or gain. Or the other issue I run into a lot is people that they hit a plateau in their bench press or their squat or their deadlift or whatever they're doing, where they plateau and they're like, they just can't push past that. So what they try to do is they try to push past that.
Yeah.
Which makes a ton of sense, right?
I tried pushing past that.
Right. So you have that deadlift limit of, you know, two plates a side and you've been hitting that for 6 or 8 weeks and you just can't go any further, and then you do, and then you tear something in your hamstring.
Yeah.
Or you strain your back because you're rolling your back too much or whatever it is. So, you know, when I have run into those, whether they're clients or they're just members of the gym, and they say to me, hey, you know, do you got any tips? I say, don't do that exercise for a couple of weeks or a month or whatever it is. Work all the ancillary muscles, the helper muscles for that deadlift or that squat or that bench press or whatever it is. Work through all of those and strengthen those out. Do some more stretching, do some yoga, do some whatever it is, depending on the exercise and the person. Work around the problem, and then that can help solve the problem. You know, like we talked about with the actual weight loss and gain issues, there's different ways around that. Same thing goes for lifting issues. When you've plateaued and you're thinking, okay, I guess this is my limit. Well, it might be, but the only way to find out is by having proper training, proper help, proper support, doing some other things, then coming back. I had one client whose squat was stuck at a certain spot. He didn't touch a deadlift or a bar, for 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went back, he came in, we worked on a session where I said, hey, we're going to do squats today. I told him that day, didn't prep him. And then he's like, oh, okay. And we increased it by 90 pounds.
Wow.
After not doing it for two and a half months.
And doing other stuff.
Doing a bunch of other things, working other muscle groups, working other areas of the body. Well, with the squat, you're kind of using your whole body. So that was easy. But I got him to a point that he wasn't even thinking about doing the squats anymore. So then when I told him, he was a little nervous. You know, we started at what his max was previously, and he blew out 10 of them and was like, what the hell? So then we kept going and kept going and kept going. And, you know, he had a new high. So a new personal best. So that's those sort of things make certain people, a lot of people, happier. Yep. You know, whether it's running, you know, and you run for 5K and that's your goal, you know, or whether it is a bench press or whether it's leg press or whatever it is. When you've plateaued, you get the proper help and support, and who knows what you can do.
Exactly.
But doing it right is the key.
And that is, I think, the overall message to this episode.
Yeah.
You got to train right and train smartly.
Train smart. Yep. Listen to your body. When you have injuries and it's nagging on for a few days, get a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a trainer. Talk to someone else you know that has had some shoulder issues or knee issues or whatever it is. Explain to them and, you know, try to get some help and try to get some support. Take some time off, because if you take a few days off, sometimes your body will heal itself like that.
Oh yeah, take a weekend off.
Right.
Like, have rest days anyways. Like rest, you need them.
Rest days, a whole nother episode.
We will. We should do that one next.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, next week, rest days.
Rest days. Why they're important. Why you definitely need to do them.
Where do people find you, James?
Right here in the studio.
In the studio, okay. Yeah. Say, what if they're out there listening and they want to find you?
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. At James Suds on Instagram or at Anatomic Training, Fitness and Coaching on Facebook.
Sweet.
Make sure you download all the episodes. We've hit 17 countries now, 71 different cities across this wonderful planet.
700 full downloads?
Almost. Yeah. And I think aside from Antarctica, I think we've hit every continent on the planet.
The hell are they doing in Antarctica?
They're slacking, apparently.
It's kind of cool.
Maybe they don't have Spotify.
They might not have Spotify. Yeah. Or the internet, for that matter.
The penguins, you know, whatever.
Aren't interested.
They need to step up. So thank you for listening to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. For Jason Hewlett, I'm James Sutherland. And listen to some of this great Sean Nippelberg music on the way out.